done this morning. And again, I'm going to move fast. Father, I pray you give me clarity of thought now. Give me clarity of speech. I pray you'll use this message, Lord, to encourage our hearts, Lord, to convict our hearts, to challenge our hearts. Lord, I just pray that you'll use it in each life. This is a message to our mothers, maybe about a mother's heart, but Lord, this is for all of us this morning, and I pray that we would humble ourselves before your word, we would receive truth from it, and then, God, will we obediently respond to what it is you want to do in our lives today. So, God, just use your word, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name, I pray. Well, I want to give you, I had some background material, so you want to have a background when you go into a story, so I'm going to summarize it this way. This is different from what the first service heard, but like I said, for the sake of time, I want to say this. So, Judges, if you go back to the book of Judges, what you find is there's no king, and it is a time of really of anarchy in the nation there with Israel. It's anarchy. In Judges 21:25, it says, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes." Does that sound like anything that would be familiar to anyone else? Sounds a lot like today, doesn't it? Each man did that which was right in his own eyes. You know, we have that. We look at the lost world. That's what we see running rampant in our lost world today, right? Everyone doing what is right in their own eyes. You know what the problem is, though? We look at the lost world and go, look at how they're acting. Do you know we've got that same problem in the church? Oh, me or amen? We got the same problem in the church. We got people that profess to be born-again believers and just live like they want to. They do what's right in their own eyes. How I live my life shouldn't matter. How I live my life, the things I do, that doesn't matter how I am spiritually. I can do whatever and still be a spiritual person. That's kind of the mentality that is out there. Everyone doing what is right in their own eyes. We are in a state of decay in our nation. And this is the background we have. We have in the book of Judges, and as you come then into 1 Samuel, it is a time the nation is in despair. The nation is in turmoil. There are a lot of problems. Okay. Now, when we come to 1 Samuel, and we're looking at the first three chapters there, in the first three chapters, the Lord is mentioned 60 times, over 60 times in three chapters, the Lord is mentioned. Now, why is that? Here's why that is. Because he's the star of the show. You know, too many times today, people read the Bible and they put themselves in there as the hero. This is all about me. And I tell you, it's not all about you. It's his story. It's all about Christ. Cover to cover, the Bible is about Jesus. That's about what he did so that we could have eternal life. But the story is about him. It's about God Almighty. And so we make much of the Lord, and we look in here, first three chapters, the Lord again, 60 times he's mentioned. And so we find in this that the nation of Israel is in chaos. There's no leadership. Sin is running rampant. The nation is in despair. And so this morning, as we look here in 1 Samuel chapter 1, we're going to see the story of Hannah. And what we're going to find with Hannah is a woman whose life really mirrors the nation of Israel at that time. She is it's a life that's in despair. There's all this turmoil in her life, and it's incredible as you look at this, because I can get into the sovereignty of God, and we want to talk about this, that God is sovereign, amen? God is overall. Nothing happens to us that he doesn't know about. It either came through his hand or from his hand. We understand that. God is in control of this. Go to the book of Job, the book of Esther. We see God's sovereignty. He will have his way. You've got a free will. You get to choose. You get to do stupid things and you get to do righteous things. But you know what God is doing? He's going to work around us in spite of us, and he will accomplish his will. His will be done. He is sovereign. He is all-powerful, but he's also caring. And that's the backdrop that you zoom in. If you had a backdrop, you're laying the opening scene of a movie. That's what we're seeing, a nation in chaos. Now let's look at Hannah. The title of the message this morning is this, is Hannah, the prayer of a godly mother. Now what's interesting, you're going, a godly mother. At this point, Hannah's not a mother. But I'm going to tell you, she had the heart of a mother, and it's the prayer of a godly mother that we're going to see this morning. First thing let's look at Hannah's plight. Hannah's plight. Verse 1. Now there was, do any of you ever read the scriptures and you see these names in there? And you go, you know, here's the thing. When you're out there or you're home reading, you know what you get to do? You can just jump right over them, right? You know, you can do that, and it's okay. You know what? I got to stand up here and read these names. And sometimes I run up on names that I just have trouble with. I'm from Georgia. I have trouble with hail, right? I have trouble with the word hail or hail. It's the same word. It means two different things, but it's the same thing. It sounds the same. Y'all think it's pronounced different. It's not, Miss Trish. It's not. Hail is hail and hail is hail. Okay? Y'all get that. So I come upon these words that give me trouble. All I said. Now, there was a certain man named Ramathaim. Okay? He was from there, of that place. Sophim. Okay? I don't know why that name is so hard for me. For Georgia, I do know why. All right, and of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Suf, an Ephraimite. First one's over, I'm not going back there. And he had two wives, the name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. All right, now, from the way that's written, and if you go and look what the word other means, it's very clear in the scripture that Hannah was his first wife. Hannah's his first wife. Peninnah is the second wife. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. So we're starting to see now what is her plight. What is the problem? Well, the problem is Hannah has no children, which is probably why Elkanah went and had a second wife. He marries Hannah. He loves Hannah. We'll see that, but he loves Hannah, but Hannah has no children. So he goes, and this is not an endorsement. God doesn't say more than one wife? Polygamy. That polygamy is okay. He doesn't endorse it. Nowhere in Scripture does he endorse that. But it was allowed. And they went, and he goes, and he gets a second wife. And it says that Peninnah has children. So we see that she has children, but Hannah has no children. Okay? Verse 3, this man, Elkanah, went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. We heard about Shiloh if you were here last Monday night. You heard about the city of Shiloh where the ark was for hundreds of years. And so they go up to Shiloh. They go there to worship. And Elkanah, we see, is a good man. He's a godly man. He's a worshiper. He goes to sacrifice. He's a faithful man. And then there's a little footnote in here. Also, the two sons of Eli was a problem. Hophni and Phinehas were sinful, debauched individuals. The priests of the Lord were there. And that's laying some foundation for what's coming later in the book. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. So she's got a lot of kids with him, and when they would go, he would give her portions to sacrifice. But to Hannah, verse 5, and we see here again his heart, but to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. Now, who closed her womb? God did. The Lord did. Now, Hannah, I believe, and we'll see this, I believe Hannah understood this. I believe she fully understood the sovereignty of God, that it is God who would choose in this either to give her children or to withhold children. She understands that because she understands who God is. But we see here, it's revealed that it wasn't a problem with him, it wasn't a problem with her. This is something God has done. The Lord had closed her womb. He had not allowed her to have children to this point. And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. Now, ladies, any of you out there think it would be a good idea for your husband to go to get a second wife? Nobody? Any husbands out there think, man, that sounds like a wonderful thing. I think I'll go get a second wife. That sounds like a great idea. I don't. And let me tell you, So you see the problem here. He goes and here's part of her turmoil is that this second wife has come in. She's had children. Her heart isn't right with God. If it was, she wouldn't be treating Hannah the way she's treating her. She's bullying Hannah. She's tormenting Hannah because she doesn't have children. So Hannah doesn't have children. That's a big deal. And now she's being tormented in that. Verse 7, so it was, year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, and she provoked her. Therefore, she, Hannah, she wept and did not eat. I mean, they're going up, and in this trip, in this time, maybe they didn't have to spend a lot of time together the rest of the year, but as they're on this trip, they're obviously together. Peninnah is just wearing her out. She's mocking her. She's making fun of her. She might have been telling her, you got sin in your life, kind of like Job's friends did. You know, you got sin in your life, Hannah. Why don't you have kids? You're not loved by God. You're not favored by God. God doesn't care about you. He's ignored. Whatever. There's something going on, and it is breaking Hannah's heart. All of this goes on. And then verse 8, then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? He seems like he's not paying attention to what's going on. Why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Why are you going through all this? And then Elkanah is going to make a statement right here that makes him, I mean, it's like every man in the room. We understand our importance to you as our wives. We understand how important we are. And very humbly, he says, am I not better than 10 sons? I mean, why are you crying? Why are you weeping? Why is your heart grieved? Aren't I better than 10 sons? I mean, just very humbly. Gina, aren't I better than 10 sons? Aren't I better than Jesse and Jordan? Aren't I better? Why are you upset that Jordan went off to college? Aren't I better than that? So we're very humble in that, right? Guys, we just... No. Maybe we're a little overinflated in that. We're not so humble. And maybe he's just trying to cheer her up. Maybe he's not so humble in that. Really, he might be thinking, I mean, what's your problem? You've got me. How could you be sad? Gina, how could you ever be sad? I mean, come on. Right? Maybe that's what's going on. I don't know. And then Hannah gives the look that she just gave, like, yeah, whatever. You know, whatever. So here's the deal. Hannah has no children, and in that culture in Hannah's day, childbearing was considered crucial for a woman's purpose, for making her barrenness feel like divine disfavor and total failure. So that's part of what's going on in this culture. It was so important to have kids. Psalm 127 verse 3 says, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. So, I mean, children were important. They're important today. They should be important today. We're in a culture today that has totally said, kids don't matter. We don't care. We don't want them. Man, here's a woman who wanted a child. She desired to have a child. She desired to be a mother. She wanted to be a godly mother. She wanted to teach that kid about the Lord and see him serve the Lord. That was the desire of her heart. And see, again, the text makes it clear that the Lord had closed her womb. And so she has no children, so she's in this. And then she's being tormented by this Peninnah. And so you see the turmoil. This is a horrible situation, but it reflects what's going on in the nation. It's a terrible situation in the nation. There's no leadership. There's just crisis there. Now, let's look at Hannah's prayer. Verse 9, so Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in, now listen, she was in bitterness of soul. Hannah was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Now that phrase, bitterness of soul, it means this. It means deeply distressed. Hannah was she had disappointment, she has dissatisfaction, and she has discontentment with her situation in life. As the things were, she's just not happy. She is a deeply unhappy woman. Not out of her but here's the thing, out of her misery and through her tears, Hannah prayed to the Lord. So life is just rough. Now, understand, I don't hear once blaming God, accusing God, screaming at God, yelling at God, blaming, you know, why God? She's not even questioning God. But her heart is heavy. And she's like, you know, could God change this? Now, where she goes to the Lord in her distress, where should we go in our distress? Anybody ever have distress in their life? Where should we go? To the Lord. You know, we don't do that. We go to our friends. We go to coworkers. You know, even people in the church. We go to them. Hadn't been to the Lord. Hadn't talked to him about it, but I'm going to talk to you about it. We go to the bottle. Maybe a bottle of liquid. Maybe a bottle of pills. Maybe it's we get on the internet. Maybe we go play golf. Get on the lake, but we get in our stress and we do anything but go to God. And in our distress, the one person we should go to is God Almighty. He's the one, the only, the first. You can talk to other people, but you talk to Him. You go to Him with your distress. You go to Him with the situation that's going on in life. So it should be clear by now that Hannah knew that the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit has told us twice, is that the Lord, it was the Lord who had closed her womb. So we have to understand from this that she understood why she didn't have children, that the Lord had done this. And so this knowledge didn't push her away from God, because here, that's what some people would do. You mean to tell me I don't have kids because he's not giving me kids? He's not letting me have kids? Are you telling me that? Is that what you're telling me? Well, then I don't understand that. Why would God treat me that way? And you know what? Sometimes that's how we respond to God. Understanding again that He's sovereign and He cares for us. He's sovereign and He cares for us. Why would we then, if we understand He's sovereign, He's all-powerful, He's all-knowing, He's aware of this. If whatever's coming to my life, it come from Him or through Him. And yet so many times we get mad at God. I can't tell you how many times I've talked to people and they're mad at God about things in life. That says you don't understand His sovereignty. You don't understand that, and you don't understand His goodness. And because you can't understand it, and we can't see everything like He sees it. I mean, because we don't, sometimes we question God. We throw our fist at Him. Why, God? Why would you do this to me? We don't see that with Hannah. She prayed to the Lord. She went to the Lord. Verse 11. And we're going to camp out right here for a few minutes and just look at this prayer. Verse 11. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to you all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. Now, faith in the one true God means knowing and trusting His sovereignty and His goodness. And I've already mentioned that. But if we really have faith in the one true God, if we have faith in Him, if we haven't created some idol that does everything the way we think He should do it, I mean, look, if that's your case, just go get you a lamp and put it on your mantelpiece, and then you can go rub it when you want something. Because what you want is a genie in the bottle. You don't want to worship Almighty God as He is. When we understand the sovereignty of God, God has a plan, and we don't always know what the plan is. But God is in control, and He loves us. He cares for us. He works in His goodness towards us. So the logic of faith says this. When we have true faith, the logic of faith is we know all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. And therefore, nothing in all of God's creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's Romans 8:28 and verse 39. So we know God's in control. So true faith in God, therefore, will lead us in our troubles to pray to the God who is sovereign over all things. If we understand that and we really have true faith, then it should lead us to pray to God, not pull away from Him. We should want to get to Him because He knows what has happened to us. He knows why it's happened. Either He's brought it or allowed it. He's the one. Why would we not go to Him? That's who we go to. That's what true faith does. True faith goes to Him, and that's what Hannah did. And what an example Hannah is in her prayer. It's an example for all of us. But a mom, if you've got a mom's heart, listen to things we can learn this morning. So let's look at her prayer. She made her request known to God. Philippians 4:6 tells us, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. So she does what Paul told us to do, and that's to take our needs to the Lord, to share with Him through thanksgiving, through prayer, through supplication, but to make our request known to Him. So what does Hannah do? She goes and she asks God for what she deeply desired. And what was that? I'm going to stop you. Because your answer's probably... Not you. did you stop? I had her stop. Sorry. I did that right as she was coming down. And I saw her stop, and I went, no, I'm sorry. That wasn't for you. I'm sorry. Now I'm making more of it and embarrassing you even more. So, sorry, I'm real good at that. I'm sorry. Here's what our answer would be. See, if I ask that and you answer, most of our answer is going to be, she wants a baby. She wants a boy. She wants a child. She wants a son. That's what she wants. But I want to tell you, yes, she wanted a son, but no, that's not the primary thing she wanted. When she brings her supplication to God, I want you to see what she wants. She requested, here's what she requested. First thing, what she truly wants is his attention. She wants his attention. She said, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your servant. She wants Hannah to, she wants God to see Hannah. She wants God to see her, to look on her. And she understands that he sees her and he looks on her. And you'll understand in a moment what kind of what she means by that. But see, Hannah understood that God is sovereign and God is good. Hannah only only hope was that God, in his goodness, would look now on her sorrow just as he had looked on the sorrow of the people of Israel while they were in Egypt. She wants God to look on her, to see her, to remember her in her distress, in her anguish. And so that was what she desired. The second thing is that she requested his blessing of a son. And the verse continues there, and it says, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child. Would you look at me, God? Would you see me? Would you take note of me? Would you remember me in this? And Lord, would you give me a man child? Would you give me a male child? Would you give me a son? See, God's omniscience and perfect knowledge were the presupposition of her prayer. She understood that he is all-knowing. She understood that. She understood he had perfect knowledge. So therefore, he's the one she's going to go to and talk to about this situation. She knows that he is the one that's behind all this. He either knows why she doesn't have a child, or he's the one that's caused her not to have a child. But she's going to him in hopes that he will do now what up to this point he has not done. So she prayed that God might so look on her misery and so attend to her that he would now do for her what he had previously not done, and that's to give her a son. So she addressed God. Now look at how her prayer goes. She addressed God in terms that acknowledged his majesty. She says, O Lord of hosts. What a great name. Lord of hosts. Lord of the armies. Lord Sabaoth. If you've heard was it Mighty Fortress is Our God? Luther's song. A mighty fortress is our God. In there, he talks about Lord Sabaoth, the Lord Jesus. That's who that is. That's who he's talking about. The Lord of hosts. He is powerful. She knew who God is. All true prayer is like that. Prayer has been made possible by God's making himself known to us. That's why we can pray to him, is that he's made himself known to us. And we dare speak to God only because he has spoken to us. So she addressed him in terms that acknowledged his majesty. She addressed God based on his past dealings with Israel. So when we go to God, you know, when we know his heart, we know his character, we know what he's done, we know what he's like. She knew what God was like. And she goes to God and she says, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant. When Hannah asked God to look on her affliction, she was echoing the language of God's dealing with Israel. The Exodus from Egypt in the days of Moses is typically described like this. It's, I have surely seen the affliction of my people. I've seen. When they heard that the Lord had seen their affliction, they bowed their heads and worshiped. The Lord saw our affliction. You saw the affliction of our fathers in Egypt. Now those words are seen and saw. They're the same Hebrew words that are translated look right there. And this idea of this affliction, to look on that affliction here that we find in 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 11. So Hannah begged God to do for her what he had done for Israel in the days of Moses. She asked God to do what God had shown to be his characteristic behavior toward his people, to look on his people, to remember his people, and then to move in their life. And God moved toward them, and she's asking him to move towards her. And then she approached God in terms that acknowledged her place before him. And in this three times, she calls herself your maidservant. Your maidservant. I mean, I'm a servant. She came humbly before God. She acknowledged who she was. Three times she did that. She knew who she was before God. And all true prayer is like that, when we understand our place before God. Scripture tells us we can approach the throne of grace boldly. Amen? We can approach boldly. Nowhere does it tell us to approach the throne of grace arrogantly or boastfully. We must come before God humbly. Listen, He's God Almighty. We got a situation today in America and in our churches all over America where prayers are lifted up like God is our homeboy, like God is our buddy. He's my friend. He's my pal. Look, God is, He is the greatest friend we'll ever have. But you don't approach God Almighty that way. You don't talk to Him that way. He is God Almighty. If God were in this room, and He's in this room in spirit, but if He's in this room, if He appeared, He couldn't appear, this room wouldn't hold it. But let's just say He could. We wouldn't be going, oh man, my bud, what's up? Peace. We'd be on our faces. We couldn't get low enough in the presence of Almighty God. We flippantly come before God sometimes in the way we talk, the way we act, the way we dress, everything. We just come flippantly before God. We say God is in our presence here. Amen? When we gather here, do we believe He's here? Do we come to worship Him? Are we coming to worship God Almighty? We don't come sometimes like we're coming in the presence of God. We come very flippantly, like it's just another event. If God is here and we're coming into His presence, we should come that way. And when we voice a prayer to Him, it shouldn't be to my homeboy. It should be to God Almighty. She showed that she understood that. She understood He's the Creator, I'm the creation, your maidservant. And then Hannah made, in this, she made an improbable promise to God. Then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon him. If you give me a son, if God, if you look on my situation, you decide you give me a son, then I'm going to give him back to you. I'm going to give him back to you, and no razor. And so what that means is she's going to give him as a Nazirite. Now, usually that was a short-term situation, but what she's saying here is when the time comes, When I wean him, when you'll see this, I'm jumping ahead because we're running a long time. But when this child is weaned, she's going to raise that child up, which would have been about the age of 3 years old. She would have nursed that child to about 3 years old. When he's weaned, then she's going to take that child and present him at the temple there at Eli and give him into the service of the Lord. Not for a year, not for 5 years, but for his whole life. Now, can you imagine how hard that is? How many of you, you know, we go, well, the thought is, well, maybe she's praying this prayer, God, you know, I'll give him back to you. I'll give him back to you if you'll give me a son. Or yeah, I'll give him back to you like, yeah, I know he's yours, but you know, I'm going to keep him and I'm going to hold him. You know, the tendency might be, you know, haven't had a child. Then you get a child and all of a sudden you don't want to let him go. That wasn't what she said. You know what it shows? It shows Hannah loved the Lord. Her desire was to please God. She wanted a son that she could raise up to serve God and make a difference. She wanted to honor God in that. That was her desire. That was the desire of her heart. And she wanted a child, but she wanted to please God in that. And she said, I'll give him back. This wasn't bargaining with God. It's not just trying to, she's not playing some manipulative thing with God like that would work. That's not what she's doing. She truly wanted a child to give back to him as a gift. And she's, now imagine that. I think about Abraham. God promised to give Abraham a son. You know the whole story, and he's old in age, and God now blesses him, and Isaac comes along, and then Isaac's a young boy, and God says, Abraham, I want you to get Isaac, get stuff together. You're going to take him to the mount, I'll show you, and you're going to offer him as a sacrifice. Now, I commend Abraham in this. I love the fact that Abraham, he didn't go have conversations with folks. He got Isaac. He got everything he needed. He went on a journey, and he was going to offer Isaac to the Lord, and the Lord intervened and stopped him. But he was going to do that. Now, you imagine how hard that is. I think this is harder what Hannah's doing. Hannah's saying, look, God, if you'll give me a child, I'm going to give him back to you. Abraham didn't know that was going to be a part of the deal. I got to go kill him later on, offer him as a sacrifice. He didn't know that was going to come. Hannah's saying, Lord, if you'll give me this child, I will give him back to you. I will give him back to you. Can I tell you this? I think that we ought to do that. And I think this is part of the story here. You know, I guess the question is this: have you ever dedicated your children? Have you given them to the Lord? You know, I saw Toby a couple weeks ago. Toby was here with their newborn, and he held the baby up. And I'm surprised somebody didn't take that picture and do the Simba song. And that, you know. I did that with our kids. I didn't do that, but I did. Look, when both our kids were born in the room, within just a short time after they were born, we prayed and we gave them back. Lord, this is a gift from you. You gave us this child, but this is your child. You've just given them to us to steward, to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We just have a responsibility. He's trusting. What a huge responsibility. He's entrusted us with a life and a soul to point them to God and then to give them back. And man, she's saying, I'm gonna raise this child up and I'm going to give him back to you. That's the heart of her as a mother. But it's a heart of someone who loved God and wanted to please God. Now, let's look at what God did in this. God's response, first off, he remembered Hannah. Hannah had prayed in verse 11, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me. That's what she said. Now we read in verse 19, and it says, if you read through there, it says, and the Lord remembered her. It wasn't that the Lord had ever forgotten her. That's not what, I could go into that and explain that. That's not what that meant at all. God hadn't like, oh, Hannah, I'm sorry. I mean, I was distracted over here. I didn't see you over there. I'm glad you called me up because now I'm paying attention. That wasn't that at all. That's not at all what was going on. But now when he remembered, that's when he begins to move and he moves in her life. And so, man, he remembered her just like he remembered Noah in the days of the flood and Lot when he destroyed Sodom and Rachel when she conceived Joseph and his covenant with Abraham in the days of Moses. The Lord remembered Hannah, and he remembered, and just like that, when he remembered his people, it led him to acting on their behalf, and God now acts on her behalf. And we read in verse 20, and it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked for him from the Lord. And so you can read that. She waited, and she didn't go back to the temple until she weaned the child. When she weaned the child Samuel, she took him, and she offered him to Eli there at the temple. Who could do that? I'm going to tell you, if you aren't walking with God, if you aren't strong in your faith, how could you do that? And yet she did that. Now, here's what God did. See, God moved. He remembered Hannah, but here's the other thing God did. God rescued Israel. God used Samuel to rescue Israel. See, Samuel, he was the last of the judges, and he was the first of this new line of prophets. And he did some amazing things. But the truth is, Samuel was God's man, and God used Samuel in these weak tribes of Israel when they needed direction and leadership. He provided that. And he rescued Israel in that time. Now, let's say Hannah marries Elkanah, and they have a child, and he never marries anyone else. They have a child. They have Samuel 10 years earlier. I don't know how long they've been married. But let's say she has a child. Her heart might not have been to give him back to the Lord. But through all of this, the sovereign hand of God, he withheld that. Hannah comes to a place where she's absolutely broken. She loves God. She understands he's working in this situation, trying to figure out, I don't know why, but I want a child. God, I so want to please you. I so want to honor you. I so want a child. Well, if you give me a son, I'll give him back to you. God prepared her in all of these circumstances. He prepared her to have this child at this time to be given to the work of the Lord, submitted to him, given to him, sanctified, set apart for the work of the Lord. And then God used Samuel. All of that to save the nation. It's an incredible thing. And so I ask you as a parent, you know, how do you know God doesn't have something great planned for your children? Have you given them back to him? Have you sanctified them to the Lord? They're his. They're not yours. Some of you don't like that. I can feel it. Some of you are like right now, like, bull, those are my kids. And if that's the case, then you got a heart problem because you don't understand God's sovereignty. They're his kids. You've just been entrusted with them. My son's a grown man. My daughter's a grown woman. they're no longer my little kids. I don't have any say in their life. If they call me and ask me, I'll give them some counsel. But I don't even offer much anymore. It's like, God, Dad, I don't want to hear that. You know, they got to figure out that they don't know all they think they know, right? They're getting there. My job was to raise them up and send them back. There ain't nothing that'll honor me more than my kids serving the Lord and living their life for Him. So, this morning, believer, if you're a mother or your father, have you given them back to Him? Have you dedicated your children to Him? Because, man, that's the heart of a godly parent, is giving your children to the Lord, doing all you can to point them, drag them, bring them to Jesus, and then see God use them and use their lives for His honor and for His glory. Amen. This morning, maybe you're here, and listen, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you don't understand the fact that you are a sinner separated by your sin from God Almighty, you are if you're a sinner. If you're still an unforgiven sinner right now, then that's where you're at. And maybe this morning you realize, you know what, I'm lost, but I'm not, preacher, I'm not even sure what it means to be saved, to be born again, to be a Christian. I'm not sure I even understand that. Well, here's what I'm going to do. We're going to sing a song here in just a moment, Pastor Aaron, if you want to come. We're going to sing a song. And this morning, listen, if you want to know more about what does that mean, what does that look like to be a Christian, what does it mean to be born again, if you got some questions, we'd love to answer those questions for you. And I'd ask you just step out. Don't worry about what anybody else is looking or looking around or thinking about or anything. All you worry about is you and God. And, man, step out. Come down here. We'll take the Bible, man. We'll just walk you right through and introduce you to Christ this morning. Believer, you know, maybe this morning, maybe there's some things you just need to get to the altar. You know, one of the things I had to fly over in this is when Hannah got up from her prayer, if you go read the story, she got up different. See, when you truly cast your care upon God, you leave the weight right there. She cast it all on the Lord, and she got up. She went. She worshiped. She ate. She had a smile on her face. The weight was gone because she cast her care upon the Lord. She didn't continue to carry it around. She gave it to Him, and she trusted Him to do what God was going to do in it. She said, Lord, whatever, I've given it to You, and I trust You. And it totally changed everything for her. Maybe this morning there's something in your life. You might need to come to the altar and just say, you know what, I need to cast this on God. Father God, I pray You just move right now. Whatever the need is in our hearts, our lives, whatever You're speaking to us about, Lord, if we're believers this morning, and we just need to, maybe we need to come to the altar and have some time casting some care upon You. Maybe there's a need that we just need to get to You and say, Lord, you know, sovereign God of this universe, You know all that's going on in this. Lord, would You look on me? Would You remember me in this situation? Would You move towards me, Lord? Would You just remember me now? Maybe we need to come and have that kind of prayer. But Lord, if You're here, Lord, I pray You speak to hearts. If there's someone here that doesn't know You as their Savior, I pray right now, God, they might step forward and just say, I want to know more about being a Christian, about being saved. Lord, just work now in this invitation. We'll praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.